This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
In this episode, you'll meet Tom Marsden, a Points and Miles fan who not only loves luxury travel, but has been able to take his family of five around the world in luxury, playing the Points and Miles game. You'll hear about how he got into the travel hacking game, some of his favorite resources, and even how he was able to spend only $2,000 to get $50,000 of travel value to send his entire family, with all three kids in tow, in business class, round trip to Europe. This is an episode you won't want to miss.
Welcome to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast with DeAndre Koch, brought to you by Boldly Go. Beyond being the founder of Boldly Go, DeAndre has a deep expertise in financial planning through owning his own financial planning firm. This finance background has provided him unique insights, enabling him to navigate the travel landscape with ease and is considered a renowned travel hacker. On this podcast, we're all about assisting adventurous travelers and budding explorers in tackling their travel hurdles, teaching luxury travel hacking strategies, and highlighting the busy professionals that still find time and ways to get away. Expect travel tips, unforgettable destination stories, and guidance on maximizing your rewards points. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and become an expert luxury travel hacker yourself. This is your journey, but our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome, everybody, to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I am your host, DeAndre Koch. I have a really, really, really awesome guest with me today who's been travel hacking for a while, who's been a big fan of the Points and Miles lifestyle with him and his family, and I'm super excited for you guys to meet Tom Marsden today. We reached out, we connected on social media, and he really has a very cool story, so I'm super, super happy to get him introduced. Tom, welcome to the podcast.
Welcome. It's great to be here, DeAndre. And, you know, it's funny how it's not just social media, but we certainly traveled in similar circles before, just never connected directly. And then, you know, through the love of travel, we kind of see each other passing in different areas, and we're from the same region. And, you know, you put one and two together, you're like, hey, we should compare notes and talk, because not everyone goes full into the industry, goes full into the travel hacking and the Points and Miles area, but it's fun to talk about it with people who do.
It absolutely is. So I'm super excited to have you on the show today. Before we get to know more about you, I do want to remind the listeners that if you've been following us, please don't forget to subscribe to the podcast to get updated on all the latest episodes. As well, if you didn't know, you can actually watch the full video of this episode on our YouTube channel as well, which is at Boldly Go World. So, Tom, love to get to know you a little bit here. Tell us a little about your background story. First, you know, who are you, what you do, you know, all of those fun things. And then, you know, what was your journey into travel hacking? Did you, you know, find a blog one day years ago and just started getting into it, dove all in? You know, how'd you get started? Why'd you get started? So I'd love to hear more about who you are and how'd you get into the travel hacking game?
Well, I think I'm the first Canadian on the podcast. Is that true?
That is accurate. Yes. That's exciting.
So I grew up in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. So, Canadians, I think, are bred a little bit differently in that as I was growing up, you know, travel was a big part of our life. My parents certainly leaned in, and every year at March break, instead of taking 1 week and going back to school, March break being like spring break for Canada, throughout high school, throughout elementary school, we'd go 2 weeks somewhere. So I kind of picked up that love of travel from my parents and kind of, you know, had that bred into myself as we were coming up, me and my sister. So we'd go to Florida, do the Disney thing, and then, you know, camping out west. And then, you know, as we got into high school, we would do all-inclusives and things like that. My parents were not necessarily in travel hacking, as you would call it, but they were big on looking up, ways to get more out of your vacation. So when we go to Florida, I think we were dragged along to like three or four timeshare presentations, right, to get free tickets.
Oh man, yeah.
I be remember being in one resort, and my parents didn't even have the second week booked. We booked it through a timeshare we went and saw while we were down there. It was a way better resort, and I've actually stayed there as an adult, subsequent years. And even, you flash forward to today when we go on vacation with my parents sometimes, they'll take like my kids and go to a timeshare presentation because they were watching like my 2-year-old at the time, and they're like, "Hey, we can go make $300." So they would do that. I mean, it's just you get that travel bug early, and you kind of say, "Okay, now I'm an adult. What do I do?" So, flash forward, I went to school at University of Waterloo. Go Warriors, which is basically a highly technical school, an engineering school up in Waterloo, Canada. I got a taste while going there to come to the States. I did a 4-month internship down here in Virginia. Also worked out at West on in Silicon Valley at Google for a period, and Amazon for a period. So I loved out West, but I also knew that if I went out there, I was dating my wife, girlfriend at the time, but soon to be wife, and I knew she wouldn't live with me working 80-hour days all the time. So we decided to settle in Virginia, Chesapeake, Virginia, to be exact. I do software development, so started doing that, and didn't really start leaning into the travel and points game until like 2010. I dabbled a little bit from 06 to 2010, but more just looking at, how do I maximize my spend? What deals am I getting? Am I getting the best cash back? It wasn't until I started traveling a little bit for work, 1 week a month or so, up to the DC area, that I said, "Hey, I need to do myself a service and make sure I'm earning as much points as I get." And then started talking to people at hotel bars about status and learning a little bit more about that. And then that just over the last, shoot, almost 15 years now, has just spiraled into, knowing what blogs I like to follow, and just sharing that love of travel with my kids now. And luckily through work, I don't travel nearly as much for work anymore, but during that time, it allowed me to build up an understanding of how the industry works, what status worked best for me, and figuring out a way, how to keep that status, how to keep generating points to kind of serve the hobby, right?
That's really cool. So about your parents, I'm assuming one of two things is either true. Either A, they are very, very good at saying no under relentless pressure, or B, they have a lot of timeshares right now.
Very, very good at saying no. And even, now I don't really do it as much, but my wife and I have gone on a couple, especially when before kids. And yeah, I mean, as long as you go in there with the idea that I'm going just for this bonus and ignore the fact that a sales agent, a sales person might be ridiculing me for losing out on the best deal of my life. And, this is vacations for life guaranteed. Just ignoring that and understanding that, if you really want to truly see the world, and I tell everybody this, you don't want to be locked into something, no matter how easy they say it is, trade points or whatever. It doesn't end up working, and you just essentially pay maintenance for a property that you never go see. And I've seen it many times, or people just find excuses to use them. But
Right.
it's not necessarily truly, traveling to go to the places you want to see. I find myself, a little bit locked in, even with like airline and hotel statuses now, where you're kind of locked in into going to places that there's a nice property in that brand that you like. But, keeping a free agent and stuff is kind of where I've settled my travel priorities, right? Don't necessarily have one particular airline, don't necessarily have one particular hotel chain. Although, as you know, I do lean towards Hyatt, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. But just being a free agent and allowing you to go really experience what you want to go experience is really where you want to be.
No, that's absolutely awesome. I would agree with you. I don't consider timeshares at all to be any form of useful type of travel hack at all. Now, I would say the going to the presentation and getting the free benefits, if you know, you is a travel hack itself. It's not one, it's not for the faint of heart, because again, you have to be able to say no very, very well, deal with a lot of pressure, and lose 2 to 3 hours of your time. But that two to 3 hours could be in exchange for a huge suite upgrade or a 3 or 4 night stay at a certain place or whatever it may be, right?
Yeah, so we've stayed for a week in Orlando in a 3-bedroom place for $200 for the week. Like, I mean, that's cheaper than staying at home, right?
Exactly.
So it can be super beneficial, but you have to be able to say no. That's funny.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. So let me ask you this, Tom. So what are some of your, you know, I don't know, favorite travel hacking memories, trip memories, that where you did something really incredible? Because I know it's not just you, right? It's you, your wife, you have kids as well. What are some of the fun memories that you guys have that also involved a really cool either travel hack or upgrade experience or status experience that you really deployed just through your use of the travel hacking mentality?
Okay. So let me start with my favorite personal hack.
Okay. Go for
and
it.
This isn't a trip or anything. I was a long time Marriott guy. I basically had one Marriott I went to, and you know, after 2 or 3 years of going there 1 week a month, they start to learn your habits and learn everything about you. It was kind of weird. So I started moving around to different Marriotts, and that's when I started figuring, hey, I'm getting a lot of nights. I've been like their top tier for like 3 or 4 years. Then I start hearing about lifetime status, and I'm like, how do I get to lifetime status? And this was around the time Marriott bought SBG. So, oh gosh, 2016, 17, something around there. And I'm like, you know, I love Marriott, but I'd love to keep this lifetime status, and then I could try different things. So I was maybe 100 nights off. I started, you know, the SBG merger started coming in, and they were changing the rules. And I'm like, I have to hit this old lifetime status so I never have to worry about it again. I was 1 week of travel up there. Basically, I worked it out with a couple general managers. You could earn 10 night status for having a meeting just at a Marriott, just one meeting. If I booked a meeting room myself for an hour, no problem. But you did have to show up. So I worked it out with a couple of GMs around, where I had one night where I had 7 meetings booked. And I just went from Marriott to Marriott to Marriott to Marriott to Marriott around the DC area, which is super easy. And my family didn't need me, so I was just doing this. Paid $50 for every meeting, but it was like I worked it out. So I'm like, hey, you're not using these rooms anyway. Just use it as food credit or something, or give me a beer. Or I'm perfectly happy. And I just went to all these Marriotts. I got 70 nights, and then I earned the other 30 nights myself, and I hit lifetime platinum. But 3 months before the deadline and everything changed, I'm like, okay, I'm never staying at Marriott again. I've achieved, I don't need to achieve status again. So I was super happy with that. And then personally for a travel hack trip, one of the most complicated awards I've ever worked is, like you mentioned, I have kids. So I have 3 kids, now 10, 11, 12. Back when we did this trip, I think 5, 6, 7.
Okay.
5 is a terrible size for a family to travel, let me tell you, because the hotel rooms are all 2 adults, 2 kids, right? Everything's 2 adults, 2 kids. So in the States, you're able to finagle, you know, especially the small kids, you're like, hey, it's just 3 kids, don't worry about it. Most of the time, you're okay. Europe doesn't fly. Some places in Latin America, it doesn't fly. It just kind of have to know when to ask and know when to just ask permission later. But this one trip we were working in was to Hawaii. We always wanted to see Hawaii. And we had 5, 6, and 7-year-old at the time. And my wife is like, I ain't flying in economy to Hawaii. There is no way. And I'm like, I am not finding 5 business class seats to Hawaii. There is no way. But eventually we figured it out, and I used Korean Air miles, which not a lot of people have, because I did a couple trips to Korea, and then I added on like a credit card of Korean miles and was able to find Delta space, essentially, from Raleigh to Seattle, and then from Seattle on to Kauai, and was able to book all 5 of us round trip both ways, each with a layover in Seattle, like a fairly long layover. So we weren't doing like 14 hours of flying. We were doing like 5 or 6 and then 5 or 6, which was perfect. We got to see the city of Seattle, which I know well, stay over on the way back, and we just had an epic time. Did 3 islands in Hawaii. The hotel stuff, the transfers on Hawaii, that was all easy. But the flight there was a cartwheel to accomplish, because dealing with Korean Air is not easy. You have to have everybody linked up the perfect way. There's lots of articles online to look it up, but if you can find that mythical Delta business class space and enough of it, you can make it happen. And certainly that was one of my hardest upgrades I've ever found. And certainly one that was awesome. However, I did ruin my kids and my wife, where they're like, "Hey, why aren't we always flying up here anymore?" And with 5 people, you can't always fly up there. Sometimes you have to sit in the back. And our rule domestically is, unless it's like cross continent, sit in economy, watch a movie, you'll be fine, right? Certainly it's nicer up front. And there's been flights where I've sat up front, maybe with my wife and the kids in the back, or maybe with one kid and wife and kids in the back, or maybe my wife and a kid up front. So we've done different combinations, but it's super hard to find 5. So when you do find it, you definitely it's a memorable time. And Hawaii is a memorable place, and super easy to travel with kids, and you don't have to worry about language barriers or anything like that, and just a great place to explore. So we had a super awesome time doing that.
It's definitely a beautiful place. It almost feels like a different country
Oh, yeah.
when you land there for the first time. You're like, how in the world is this the United States? It's funny. I just imagine your kids, like, every time they get on a plane now, they're like, "Are we turning left or are we turning right?" Right. So, because for those that are on long haul flights, right? Usually, if when you get on the plane, a much bigger plane than the typical plane you'd take to hop around, short flights. If you go left, you're turning left into the business class or first class cabin, or you're going right into economy. So I feel like now I just imagine your kids every time you get on a plane, they like look back and say, "Are we left or are we right?" Before they go. So that's funny. Perfect. So awesome travel memories, awesome travel experiences that you guys have had. Now I know that now you're a Hyatt guy, right? You love Hyatt. So please tell me why you love Hyatt so much. Tell the listeners why, and what's your status with Hyatt?
But I'm sure, everyone who listens to any sort of sense of travel points or points and miles podcast reads different blogs, you'll see a lot of people love Hyatt. And my main reason doesn't differ from many others. Like I said, I was a Marriott guy, and I would only stay in Marriott's. I never even looked any further. And what happened was, is I started reading more and more and started seeing what Hyatt would do for people, especially families. So, for example, I go someplace with my family on a Marriott, they'll give me breakfast for 2 of us, and it might be a continental breakfast. Hyatt, we'll have breakfast for the whole family, and I'll see the checks. They range from like $100 to $150, and especially some places in the Caribbean or Latin America or even overseas, it's super great. It's like memorable spreads, and they just take care of you. The other thing is getting more space. So a family of 5, having all 5 of us in one king room or a 2 queen room, we can do it. It's tight, but we can do it. But certainly a suite makes it happen. People who travel with Marriott know that Marriott suite upgrades, you apply like up, months before, but you don't find out maybe 3 to 4 to 5 days before you actually stay if those suite upgrades clear. Most of the time they don't. I've had them clear a couple times in the past, but Hyatt's suite certificates or suite upgrade certificates, as a globalist, which I am, so top tier is, well, top tier is concierge key or some sort of special program that no one knows about, but top tier that you can attain through normal methods is globalist. And assuming you get to globalist, you get four suite upgrades a year that you can use. And you can earn a few more based on milestone rewards. And we'll go through, I'm sure, explaining that a little bit better. But, you know, a suite upgrade, I can book, for example, Thanksgiving next year in Costa Rica, or this year now, 2024 in Costa Rica. And I can book that as soon as 13 months in advance. And I can confirm that suite right then and there. So I'm in that suite that might go for $2,000 a night, $1,500 a night, by using points for a regular room and get that suite done. And all five of us can stay in that suite really easy, because it's usually, you know, most of Hyatt's suites, especially down in that neck of the woods, are, you know, 700 to 1500 square feet. You have plenty of room. You can throw a couple of rollaways in there. It's so good. And last thing is customer service. I mean, Hyatt's globalist type customer service is really great. I can email someone and it might not be the quickest, but it'll get done. Or I can call them and they'll answer it and figure it out right there. Or, you know, a method I like to use is just use direct messages on Twitter or X, as they call it today, and just make something happen. Apply a suite upgrade right away when I need it. You know, refund something that I have going on and change it into something else or adjust something. Certainly, you have to plan ahead to be able to use a lot of these suite upgrades and things like that. In off seasons, you don't have to plan ahead. You can kind of just use them. But if you want to go to busy time, there's no blackout. As long as that suite's available, you can use it. So suite available and breakfast, no resort fees for globalists, and free parking on award stays. Those are the four things that I probably use the most. And, you know, you don't find that with any other status. Just imagine going to New York City, booking a room for 20, 30,000 Hyatt points a night, and then applying a suite upgrade. So now you're in this two bedroom suite. So you have way more of the room than you know what to do with, but parking down the street's $100. Well, guess what? Parking's included. So you can actually drive into the city, which is unheard of, find a place to park your car. They take care of it. And that would be valet included. And breakfast is included. So just with that one stay for one night, you might be talking about $500 in value. The suite upgrade, the parking, the breakfast. Easy. So that's why awesome. I switched. That's one great example to summarize why I switched.
That was a very compelling story as to why. Very compelling. So I know at a very high level, there's kind of three different ways, right, that you can hit globalists. And again, this is just at a high level. There's,
yep.
you know, you can spend enough money on the Hyatt credit cards. You yep. can stay 60 nights. And of course, there's different levels between globalists. So there's discoverist, explorist, then globalist are the three levels. So 60 to get to globalist. You can use a challenge, right? Where, you know, for the listeners out there, a challenge is where either Hyatt or an airline like American Airlines, or through your corporate company. Email, your company, correct? You can basically trigger a 90-day window where if you stay 10 days at a Hyatt property, you know, any Hyatt properties, you get Explorer status. But if you spend 20, you get globalist status if you stay in that 90-day window. So, and the cool thing is in that 90-day window, you get Explorer status as well while you're ranking up, which is really cool. And then you can keep that status all the way for another basically 12 months or more. So for you, Tom, how did you get to globalist? And maybe you did it a couple of different ways over the different years, but how did you get there?
So I did it initially with challenges, right? So I started, and at that time, they were open to doing challenges from elites from other properties. So I was a Marriott guy, Marriott Platinum, or, you know, now it's like Titanium Ambassador. I would have been like a Marriott Ambassador back in the day. And I said, hey, I'd like to try it out. And it was something like stay 20 nights in 3 months, which to me was not a big deal considering I had work travel still going and there's tons of Hyatts in the DC area, some which I really loved and, you know, made me wish I would have done this a whole lot earlier. But I did that challenge, earned it that year. And with the challenge, you don't get the full benefits. You get like, hey, you're globalist. You get the free breakfast. You get chance at an upgrade, but you don't get like things like the suite upgrade, or you don't get the extra free nights that they started giving people. So then from that on, I just said, you know, I love everything what's about Hyatt. Opened up a couple credit cards. So between credit cards, credit card spend on my Hyatt card for my Hyatt stays and my stays, and you also earn Hyatt Nights for point stays, which is not the case with every brand. So you add all that up, you can hit 60 nights pretty easy. And when I was traveling full time, I would hit close to 100 every year, which gave me a couple extra suite upgrades and bonus points and things like that. This year, Hyatt just made a change where there's like milestones out to 150 nights, right? So they're hard to attain. They might not be worth it for everyone, but for that hardcore traveler that lives on the road, you can get them. For me, I don't live on the road anymore. My stays are going to mostly come from leisure travel, plus a healthy amount of credit card spend to get those night credits. And like between the personal card, I think is 2 nights for every 5,000 spend, the personal Hyatt credit card, and the business card is 5 nights for every 10,000. So what a lot of people say, if you're going to do it through spend, you do 15,000 on the personal card to get the free night for the year, and then you do the rest on the business card to get you up there. And for people, it might seem like a lot of spend, but if you start looking to, you have the flexibility and you have big purchases, if you have a large tax bill or something like that, you can look for creative ways to build up that spend pretty quickly. Now, I'm not advising people to go in debt for Hyatt status by any means,
Absolutely, absolutely not.
but there might be worries where if you look at it and maybe even some of these ways to generate some spend, increases fees. But if you're okay with it, you kind of go for it and say, hey, this is really worth it to me. I know how much I'm going to save by having this status. And I just did a one night example. Imagine a week somewhere. You can make a big difference and give your family that luxury travel experience that you really want to get to, right? To get a little bit more for what you're putting out there. And when I mean, luxury travel, I don't mean going down to the Hyatt House or the Hyatt Place or chilling that way. That might work for people, and going to those type of places can stretch your points out greatly. But like for listeners of the podcast, people like going down to the Park Hyatt Maldives and really going to a place that feels so far off the map. You're like, I'm just living in a hut in a jungle with nature, and jump in the water and see sharks and things like that, can go a long way. And really, that's what my wife and I really started leveraging and leaning into a little bit more is our time away is precious. We try to get something a little bit extra out of it, and go from there.
Hey everyone, this is DeAndre Coke interrupting the episode real quick to let you know that if you want to travel in style and luxury, thanks to travel hacking, here's an amazing opportunity to learn how. I've partnered with Lux Travel Hacks to offer you a special discount on their in-depth online course. It busts common myths, teaches the basics, and even has advanced techniques that surprised even me. Imagine exploring ancient ruins in Italy or sipping cocktails on a Polynesian beach and traveling there in business or first class, all for less than you'd pay for economy. This limited time offer saves you 50%, and you even get bonus content that's not available to the public. You also get access to the private Lux Travel Hacks Facebook community, where you can grow even more in your travel expertise. Click the link in the show notes and use the code BOLDLYGO at checkout to take advantage of this huge opportunity. All right, now back to the show. No, so I love a couple things. So the first piece is that you talked about, financial responsibility, right? So for the listeners on this, if this is your first episode tuning in, I always preach, don't go into debt. You have to be very responsible with how you use cards and strategies to make sure that these things are viable. And as the owner of a financial planning firm and a wealth management firm, and as a financial advisor, that's a huge stress. So I definitely appreciate you mentioning that. And the second thing is, we talk about in the Maldives at the Park Hyatt Maldives, a hut in the jungle. Let's be clear. I mean, this is like a 5-star hut, if anything, right? This is a villa. Yeah. This is a stone outdoor tub. This is marble. This is, I don't know, mahogany everywhere. I mean, this is probably, if that is your definition of a hut, it is the most luxurious hut probably in the world. There at the Park Hyatt Maldives, which is a perfect segue, because Tom, you did something that was A, amazingly generous, and B, really cool that you can even do with Hyatt, that I'm going to have you talk about here, which is the guest of honor benefits. And so for the listeners out there, which is really cool, and again, Tom did this very unprovoked and out of the kindness of his heart, he reached out again through social media and saw that we were planning this trip to the Maldives. I had posted about it, that we were doing it. We were going to the Park Hyatt. And candidly, actually, I'm at Explorist status. I was not at Globalist status. And Tom said, hey, I've been to the Park Hyatt. It's a great place. You're going to love it. Would you like to go under the Globalist benefits? And if you want to hear more about the Park Hyatt specifically and our stay there and our experience and how they really worked hard to elevate our experience, go back and listen to episode 9, because Taryn and I talk about that in great detail. So it was a really cool experience. But Tom, I'd love for you to talk about the guest of honor benefit, because you basically allowed us, me, to be able to enjoy the Park Hyatt Maldives as a globalist instead of explorist. And I didn't really think it was going to be that big of a difference until I got there and saw that it was that big of a difference. So I'd love to talk about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have the guest of honor is a smart plan by Hyatt, because they want to get as many people using their brand as possible, right? But they also want to limit how many people are globalists at any property. If everyone's a globalist at a property, they're not making money on breakfast. They're in a skimp down. They're not making money in certain areas. So it was an aspect of the program that's gone through a little bit of transformation lately. But it starts out by basically me saying, if you're going on points, I can share my status. Now, they've changed it a little bit now so that you earn these tokens, for lack of a better word, to apply to reservations. So either I can make a reservation for you, apply a token, and you'll get globalist status, or you can make a paid reservation, which is different than it was before, and I can send you a token and you can apply it. But I only have so many tokens. Before, when we did this, I could do it to as many people, as many reservations as I wanted. So as you can see, there's a little bit of a problem there in how the idea was constructed. But it does take a little bit of effort. And primarily, I did it to close friends, coworkers, people who I know love to travel, who also have kids maybe, and can get a lot of benefit out of, you know, for example, like you guys, having free breakfast, going to a manager's cocktail hour, which I think they still did, right?
Yep. So every single day we had a cocktail hour just for globalists, where we had a couple free drinks, had some snacks, heavy hors d'oeuvres, like yeah. Right there at the bar that's, you know, walks from the beach. I mean, it was amazing.
Yeah, at $20 a drink, it becomes a huge benefit.
Yes. So I mean, not even that, but the breakfast alone was like yeah. You said. I mean, for two people was easily $100 for two people, easily, plus. Right? So now, granted, like you said, Hyatt has some of the most insane breakfast spreads I've ever seen in any hotel ever. But that was an incredible, incredible value add, even just from a cost saving standpoint alone.
Yeah. So it's a simple way for me to share my status. I don't really get anything back. Other than knowing that I help someone, and certainly there's, you know, with any platform like this, there's some abuse going on, and that's why I think they're cracking down on it a little bit more. But it's a super simple way to introduce people to the idea of what you can get as globalists and get them striving for it, right? Or like, for example, let's say we're going somewhere, my wife and I, and we need two rooms. For example, you know, and I'm sure we'll talk about this, my biggest upcoming travel is to Europe with the whole family. And obviously 5 people to Europe is not easy. And I could stay in a lot of different Airbnbs and probably make it work, but I prefer to stay in a hotel. I prefer to leverage my status and see what that works. But overseas, you know, 5 people in a room just doesn't fly. So they're like, hey, you need to book two rooms. And then what I can do is make sure this normally status would purvey across both rooms that I book. But to make sure it happens, I can book the second room in my wife's name and give her a guest of honor. And she collects night credit. I connect night credit. Not that we need two globalists in the family, but, you know, she was explorers this year. She did get enough nights because a lot of places we stayed two rooms in a couple times this year. And that just happened. But she also earns the points. She also gets the benefits. So we've done a lot that way. And just being able to share the value, like I'm big on finding a deal that kind of is the epitome for me, and giving you a deal like that, you know, hey, I don't need anything from you. I'm just happy to see that happen. And knowing that you guys, you know, now knowing that you were going for a special occasion, I kind of had an inkling that there might be something going on. But knowing that made your guys' trip a little bit more special, and certainly being out of pocket for 2 to 3 weeks, a little bit less harm on the bank account, it makes me super happy. And, you know, that's what it's, I think the motivation of that plan is really to share that joy, to share the benefit, right? And to get people, they want to get you hooked, but just to get you to be the ability to enjoy it. We've used it countless times and really helped out a bunch of people.
Awesome. Well, I know, Tara and I, we greatly appreciate that. And that special occasion you're referring to is just, you know, the popping the question there in the Maldives. And so now we got a wedding to plan, which is exciting. So Tom, moving forward a little bit. So, you know, what are some of the strategies, the tips? What are the, like, you know, what do you start with? What would you recommend people that are looking to get into the points and miles of travel hacking game? You know, where would you advise they start with, or what are some of your favorite tips, strategies, resources that you would recommend to someone that's, you know, getting new to the game, or to someone more experienced? You know, what are some of the things that you do? What do you look for? And then I want to learn more about this Europe trip and kind of hear what you have coming for the future.
Yeah. No problem. So what I really tell people to do is don't do dissimilar to this. Start listening, start reading a blog, and start understanding how it kind of works. And then I kind of point them in an area of an easy credit card. And I like people starting with Chase is because it's the most powerful transferable currency in my mind. I'm at the point where I collect them all pretty much now, but when I started with Chase and started to understand, you know, how that works. If they're a family, I know a lot of people in this world will tout the companion pass from Southwest. I'm a big proponent of that too, because if you have a family, you know, going to Europe, going to Asia, going to Hawaii is not something you do every year, or maybe in your case, every other month. You know, it's something that, you know, we try to go to the Caribbean or Mexico or Costa Rica. You know, in the last 4 months alone, I've been to Costa Rica, Bahamas, El Salvador, Cabo. So, you know, I've been traveling quite a bit, but we've also been able to take our kids just because it's an easy push to stay somewhere where you're only flying, say, 4 to 5 to 6 hours at a time. So the Southwest Companion Pass has dictated really where our travel has gone really the last 4 or 5 years. Because let's say myself, I get a Companion Pass, which means I earn 135,000 Southwest miles a year, which means I could do that through spend, but I don't spend 135 grand a year, but I can do it through 2 credit card signups. So like a personal and a business card, you meet those spending requirements, you earn that many miles in that year, you get a companion pass for the rest of that year and all of the following year. So the strategy there to maximize is to apply for those 2 cards in October. Don't hit your spending thresholds till January 1st. And you and a friend can fly for free for 2 years. Which if you imagine both Diana and I having one at the same time, 2 of the 5 people in our family fly free. We have plenty of points earned through those credit card signups to take care of the other 3, and we can go a lot of places. So we've used that to fly any place really Southwest flies. So San Antonio was a trip we wanted to do. They fly there. You know, Costa Rica is a place they fly. We fly there. Bahamas is a place they fly. Cancun, you name it. Southwest's with their addition of AirTran like 5, 6, 7 years ago, it opened it up to that travel. Sorry, I segued into Companion Pass because I love it, and it's another tool of the trade. That plus
Please.
Hyatt equals our travel plans
There we
most of the
go.
time. But
Awesome.
starting with Chase, you know, if you start with Chase, you have that transfer to Hyatt, you have that transfer to Southwest, and you know, a lot of people look at Marriott and they're like, "Hey, I looked at booking a Marriott hotel, but it's 80,000 points a night." That's because their currencies just don't match up the same. Whereas a Hyatt hotel, top-end Hyatt hotel, might be 30,000, 35,000 points a night. It's not it. It's all currencies are not created equal. But however, when it comes to transferable currency, you know that Chase point transfers 1-to-1 to Hyatt and 1-to-1 to Marriott. So if you transfer to Marriott, you're losing 70% of that value right there as soon as you make that transfer. Whereas if you transfer to Hyatt, you're trying to maintain that high value. And I know you've said, you know, and I 100% agree with you, you're looking to get 2 cent plus, you know, every stay you do per point. So doing the math, making sure that, you know, hey, if I'm paying for this $1,000 a night hotel room, I'm getting the value out of my 50,000 points or 20,000 points, wherever it might be, to make sure that I use points, or should I just pay? So understanding the math is key, like you said, starting with Chase and then just following and earning as many points as you can within your means. And then once you start building up and understanding how this works, then you start targeting goals and say, hey, I would really love to get here. You have to be flexible in terms of when you want to get there, but I really would want to get here. How do I get there? And start figuring out, you know, the harder parts, which is flights and routes and how do I use points? And that's like your 201 and 301 classes. You know, how do I find the routes? How do I find routes that even have award seats? And how do I convert and grab those award seats before anyone else does? And that's really just doing a lot of reading, doing a lot of listening, consuming material in any way you want, but also understanding that there's tools out there to kind of help and sort of building up your group of tools. So websites like Points, yeah, Seats.Aero, some of the services like Straight to the Points, some of the Facebook groups and stuff like that. And as you just continue to lean in, certainly more than I can cover today, you just learn more and you learn what pockets of those information places really work for you and resonate with you and match your travel. So I think you said you leaned into some kind of the luxury travel groups, right? Early on and seeing what, and that resonated with you. Whereas I might
Absolutely.
lean into a Southwest Companion Pass group who says, hey, this is how I did my Companion Pass this year. I did this, this, and this. And then I went on the shopping portal and spent $500 and got me the last 2,000 points. So you kind of lean into the groups that resonate with you and resonate with your travel. And I mean, I don't think it's ever been easier. You know, back in the day, this hobby was hidden on sites like Flyer Talk and things like that. And if you look at how Facebook has blown up in terms of the sheer amount of travel groups and how active they are, there's no shortage of ways to find out different areas where you can get the information you need. And just maybe you take two or three tidbits from this conversation and say, hey, I want to learn more about this, this, and this. Then you just dive in and go. But certainly all my points earning starts from understanding, seeing that there's a good credit card sign up bonus out there that makes sense for what I'm doing. And literally I'm not afraid anymore of the fact that, oh, you know, I'm going to sign up for too many credit cards. That's going to hurt my credit rating or anything like that. I've seen that it does nothing really to your credit rating. As long as you know that you can pay those bills and things like that, that is the joy of award hacking is just generating it off of spend and off of sign up bonuses. And you know, player one, player two, you can do a lot with that.
Tom, this was gold. That was great, great, great advice. Before we wrap up, would love to hear. Well, it sounds like you have a Europe trip plan. So, what are the future what trips that you have, or trip that you know recently put together that you would love to share that you're about to execute on, or about to go on?
Sure. So my wife and I, kind of try to be ahead of the game, right? So try to talk, a year or two ahead of game, what do we really want to do? So I can sort of aim my points earning in the right way to make sure we have the currencies to get there. So Europe has always been on our radar. Our kids, I think, are about the age where they can go to a museum, they can understand a cultural site that we're showing them. They can understand that, hey, this is not America. Things work a little bit differently here. And they can embrace that. And they've been to enough places, that my kids are certainly spoiled in the travel area, but we won't get into that. But they've been to enough places that they can adapt. So Europe was definitely on the radar in terms of it's not the longest flight in the world. They can certainly handle it. And they certainly have the time. So like Europe in June was basically the goal. And then I started looking into it and I'm like, how the heck am I going to get five people to Europe in June without paying like $200,000, 200,000 points a seat or whatever. So it's just sort of figuring out how to do that. And I paid for some of these services that I mentioned, like Seats.Aero, Straight to the Points. I signed up for his premium, newsletter. Shout out to Spencer there for he does a great newsletter of like award alerts that, he finds all this inventory and he's like, hey, it's available on this date, this date, this date for this many seats. Have fun. First wins, right? Go get it. So we basically found some inventory. And I started scouting out rough dates. So I put a lot of travel alerts out, like on a 4 or 5 day period, looking for five business class seats to somewhere in Europe. Anywhere, I don't care. I'll figure the rest out later. Somewhere in Europe. And then I'm looking for five business class seats back around this time, anywhere in Europe. And soon as we started to find something that lined up, we took it. So I found a segment going from Dulles to Vienna, stopping in Munich on Lufthansa. So I said, okay, how do I book that? So the best place for me was Aeroplan. And then I knew through Aeroplan, I can do these crazy stopovers. So I could add a stopover to it for 5,000 more miles and then stop in a place for up to 6 months. I didn't want to stop in Europe for 6 months, but we basically did it so that we flew to Vienna, did a day layover in Vienna, and then got to Rome, and then did 5 days in Rome, and then flew to Istanbul. So we basically pieced together this all-in-business award, five segments, and you might be saying, how are you going to do five segments with kids? Well, there's breaks in between, so we should be able to handle that. We used our trip to El Salvador to plan on traveling light. So, like, how can we go with just someplace with just backpacks for a period of time? We'll go with more than backpacks, but just roller bags and do it easy. So we figured that out. So we got to Istanbul. We have a week in Rome. We have a day in Vienna, a day in Munich. So we pieced together all this stuff and then finding travel back. And luckily, we found a flight back on Turkish Air, transferred over Capital One miles to Turkish Air and did the flight back, which was reasonable. This podcast won't work too well for other people because the Turkish Air chart got devalued, I think, as of a couple of days ago. So what we booked on 50,000 miles a person to get us back to Dulles is now probably 150. Like it just got slaughtered. So that's the thing with the travel game. It always evolves. You always have to understand what's going on. And then from there, we worked hotels in between. We're still figuring out. Istanbul is easy. Munich, Vienna, easy. We're still figuring out Rome. We have a couple pieces in place, but it's June's coming up quick. I'm getting a little bit nervous, but I think we'll be able to make it happen. But we're still filling in the pieces a little bit. But we're super excited for the trip. It's a little bit of touristy and going to museums and seeing things, and then it's a little bit of R&R on the Istanbul side, spending some time down in Bodrum actually, on the Aegean Sea. So we're super excited. I think the kids, it really hasn't hit them yet, but for me, it's a super interesting time to kind of get away and really ignite that ignite that travel side for them and see where they want to go next. But we can only do these big trips every couple of years. Got to, as you know, refuel the meter. So I think I drained a good amount of points on this journey. So I got to refuel and wait a couple of years before we can empty out the tank again.
No worries, Tom. Well, that sounds like an incredible trip. I think I'm gonna have to have you on a follow-up episode to unpack how that trip went, 'cause that sounds super exciting.
We'll see if my wife and I are still talking.
That sounds great. So, quick question before we wrap up. Do you happen to remember, it's okay if you don't, do you happen to remember, I know you said you just blew a lot of points, and I can only imagine five business class round trips tickets to Europe all over, for that time frame. But do you happen to remember by chance how much cash you paid on top of these points for five business class tickets for your whole family to Europe in luxury?
So definitely there is some cash involved, right? Because anytime going to Europe, there's fees involved. Coming back, the fees were really minimal. So I think we paid probably $100 a person coming back from Istanbul into Dulles. But going there, because we stopped in so many different airports, everyone wants a little bit of peace. You land here, you land there, everybody wants something. So I think it amounted to about $800 in taxes total. So about just over, between $100 and $200 per person. So still, you're talking for a good amount of money being paid on top of, I think the flight back was 50,000 points a person, and the flight there was 75,000 points a person. But the flight there, I'm going from Norfolk to Dulles to Munich to Vienna to Italy to Istanbul. So I'm getting a lot of value for that 75,000, a lot of on and off the plane. But I think in the end, it's really truly worth it to be able to explore all those different places on points. Whereas if I priced it out, I don't even want to price it out. I know what it looks like, but it's probably, each way in business is probably about $5,000 a person, all in. So $10,000 each. So $50,000 of travel, where I paid, an outlay of probably $1,500 to $2,000 in cash, plus a whole boatload of points. We won't roll that under the ground. 500,000 points to me is, if you're doing the bare minimum, is $5,000. If you're doing what you should be, is $10,000. If you're doing really what you want to be doing, and we said that's $50,000, then that's where you want to be. So, that's how I look at it. I'm always looking for that value. But, to be honest, if I was traveling this regularly within my budget, I would be doing economy. But even that flight in economy is, probably $1,000 to $2,000 a person at least. Especially at prime time, which is June, July, August. Travel opens up those doors for people, and that's why, if anybody sits me down and starts talking about this stuff, I can, like we are today, we can just go on and go on about things that we'd love to do, we want to do. And, it's hard to run out of places in this world to go explore and see and learn about. And that's truly what I, want to get across to my family is get out there, see that we're blessed for what we have, and there's a lot of other ways to live, and just have that global mindset, really, as to, it's not always the way that you brought up is the right way to do things. There's a lot of different ways to go, and it's probably a little bit of the Canadian in me coming out, but it's all part of it.
Well, Tom, thank you for embodying the whole vision behind both Boldly Go and revolutionizing your journey, because you absolutely revolutionized the whole experience, right? I'm super excited about this trip. Just, for the listeners, I mean, let's just you go back and do the math on that, right? He spent basically $2,000 in cash and got plus points and got $50,000 of value from that for him and his wife and three kids. That is huge. And like you said, Tom, right, you know, if you were to have those same, you know, 500,000 points, which is a lot, but again, you built them up, you took your time, you racked them up, that same 500,000 points that you had, you know, the average person that's using their points would have only gotten $5,000 worth of value for that, right? Yeah. And the beginner, brand new travel hacker that doesn't take the time to do the extra research you did should have turned that into $10,000. But you being, you know, you're an expert, being someone that's been doing this, you know, you hit what, you know, I strive to hit, which is 10x, right? So you got $50,000 for the, what most people would have gotten five. And again, only paying $2,000 out of cash, which, yes, I would imagine a family of five flying round trip economy in the back in a middle seat somewhere would have been a lot more than $2,000. So awesome, awesome, awesome experience, Tom. How can the listeners connect with you? What would be the best way?
I think, you know, find me in a lot of the Hyatt Globalist Facebook groups. That's where I like to hang out and see what's up. But, you know, I am not as much as a contributor as I'd love to be in the travel space. It's just hard to, you know, like you said, I can get on and talk about this forever and then no work would get done around me. But they certainly hit me up on Twitter or X under Tommy Boy Can. That's an easy way to find me, or reach out on Facebook looking for Tom Marsden for sure, and certainly talk to me there.
Awesome.
But you can tag me in the release of the details and we can go from there. But certainly, you know, I'd like to, as much as I'd like to teach people to fish, I think there's a lot of people out there who do this full time and do a great job. My favorite site by far is Frequent Miler. I've been following them for 10 years. I've done a lot of crazy things because of them, but a lot of them have worked out in the end. You know, you hear everything, and I'm sure you'll talk about it at some point, of like using the infinite points machine. People used to dig through trash or Wendy's bags to find point redeemable things, or that one guy who got 1,000,000 miles on Pudding Pop UPCs. Like, there's a lot of crazy stuff in this hobby, we'll say. But definitely you find the thing that works for you and you kind of lean in and make it your own. And it's certainly, certainly a hobby that it's fine and encouraged to impersonate. You know, on the really secret deals, they never like sharing them with the world. So it's, some of them are hard to find, but I think, like anything, travel will evolve, points and miles will evolve, and there will always be a place to find the deal, whether it's through points and miles or through other ways of looking at things.
Awesome, Tom. Well, we're going to go ahead and include all the links to how to connect with you in our show notes. Appreciate all the resources you shared as well. This was an awesome, awesome, awesome experience. Thank you for the advice that you gave. Thank you for the stories that you gave. And again, thank you for the opportunity to enjoy your Member of Honor benefit as well with the Globalist and the Park Hyatt Maldives. That was an incredible experience. And so thank you for the listeners as well for tuning into this episode. Please don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and tell your friends. And we'll see you on the next episode. Have a great one.
Thanks for tuning into the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, book a consultation with us. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to set it up and explore more. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Boldly Go. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.